A few days ago on Friday, we celebrated a very important feast of the church here, the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And we know this devotion to the Sacred Heart is a devotion of love and reparation and mercy, where we recall the great love and mercy of the Sacred Heart of Jesus for us and for sinners whose conversion he desires greatly, as well as the desire we all should have to love him in return and to make reparation for our sins and all the other sins of the world that offend his Sacred Heart. So we had in the Gospel today, on this Sunday after the Sacred Heart, one of the places in the Gospel where we most see our Lord's mercy toward sinners. There are so many of those places in the Gospel between the parables that our Lord gave, as well as the mercy that he showed to sinners, the woman caught in adultery. This devotion to the Sacred Heart is, of course, rooted in doctrines that have always been part of the faith. But as a specific devotion to the heart of Jesus, we know it dates to the apparitions and revelations of our Lord to Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque some few hundred years ago. And this is how she describes the first apparition of the Sacred Heart of Jesus to her in the year 1673. One day I was praying before the Blessed Sacrament when I felt myself wholly penetrated with that divine presence, but to such a degree that I lost all thought of myself and of the place where I was, and abandoned myself to this divine spirit, yielding up my heart to the power of his love. It seems to me this is what took place. And she says, our Lord said to her, my divine heart is so inflamed with love for men, and for you in particular, that being unable any longer to contain itself within itself, the flames of its burning charity, it must spread them abroad by your means, and manifest itself to them, in order to enrich them with the precious graces of sanctification and salvation necessary to withdraw them from the abyss of perdition. I have chosen you as an abyss of unworthiness and ignorance for the accomplishment of this great design, in order that everything may be done by me. And then in the second revelation, about 6 months later, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque says, my divine master revealed to me that it was his ardent desire to be known, loved, and honored by men, and his eager desire to draw them back from the road to perdition along which Satan is driving them in countless numbers, that induced him to manifest his heart to men with all the treasures of love, mercy, grace, sanctification, and salvation that it contains. This heart of God must be honored under the form of his heart of flesh, whose image he wanted exposed and also worn on me and on my heart. He promised to pour out into the hearts of all those who honor the image of his heart all the gifts it contains in fullness. And for all those who would wear this image on their persons, he promised to imprint his love on their hearts and to destroy all unruly inclinations. Everywhere this holy image was exposed to be honored, he would pour forth his graces and blessings. And then, in a later apparition, our Lord said these famous, well-known words to St. Margaret Mary. after opening his divine heart to her. Behold this heart, which has so loved men that it spared nothing, even going so far as to exhaust and consume itself to prove to them its love. And in return, I receive from the greater part of men nothing but ingratitude by the contempt, irreverence, sacrileges, and coldness with which they treat me in this sacrament of love. But what is still more painful to me is that even souls consecrated to me are acting in this way. Therefore, I ask of you that the first Friday, after the octave of Corpus Christi, be dedicated as a feast in honor of my heart, and amends be made to it in an act of reparation offered to it, and by the reception of Holy Communion on that day, to atone for the outrages it has received during the time it has been exposed on the altars. I promise you that my heart will open wide and pour forth lavishly the influence of its divine love on all who will render and procure for it this honor. And this is why we have the Feast of the Sacred Heart that was requested by our Lord. We return the love that our Lord has given to us, and we make reparation for our own sins and the sins of others. And who can read these words of our Lord? Who can consider this Feast of the Sacred Heart, the image of his heart, and the words he spoke of his great desire for the conversion of sinners? Who can consider that and not have the greatest confidence in his mercy if sinners will only repent? Of course, our Lord will not forgive if we wish to continue in sin, if we harden our heart and persevere in seeking after sin and rejecting his mercy. But what a consolation to the sinner who does want to give up sin, to know that our Lord himself has so strongly expressed his desire for the return of the sinner. So no sinner, no matter how steeped in sin, can ever despair and think that our Lord will not forgive him if he will only turn to our Lord and beg forgiveness and grace to give up sin. Our Lord made to St. Margaret Mary what we know as the 12 promises. They are, I believe, it was not one apparition where these were laid out at 12 sequential promises. I think they're taken from here and there amongst her various revelations that she wrote down and listed as the 12 promises of the Sacred Heart to those who have devotion to his heart. And I'll read a few of them, which should encourage us to honor the image of the Sacred Heart in our homes. He says, I will give them all the graces necessary for their state of life. I will give peace in their families. There was an instance once of a home where there was constant bickering and fighting, especially between the father and the sons, and among the sons fighting with each other. And the one daughter, whose name was Rose, decided that she would put to test our Lord's promise to give peace in families where his heart is honored. And so she set up a picture of the Sacred Heart in the living room and put a candle before it. And every night she knelt there and prayed to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And in a very short time, peace was restored in the home, and the bickering went away, and the sons became good, and the father became more gentle. Our Lord said, I will console them in their troubles. I will be their refuge in life, and especially in death. He says he will bless abundantly our undertakings, And a very important promise for sinners, he says that they will find in his heart the source and infinite ocean of mercy. And for those who are in the state of grace but are weak, our Lord said, the tepid will become fervent. And he says, the fervent souls shall rise speedily to great perfection. One promise I think of often, our Lord says, I will give to priests the power to touch the most hardened hearts. And one priest who was an eminent example of this, well, there are two priests I can think of that were an outstanding example of trusting in the Sacred Heart of Jesus for the conversion of sinners. One was Father Nelson Baker in the 1920s and 30s in Lackawanna, New York. He ran an orphanage and did so much for the sanctification of the children there in the orphanage. But he sometimes spent whole nights praying before the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and he obtained the conversion of many sinners, as well as non-Catholics, to the Catholic faith through his devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, as well as Our Lady of Victories. The other example is Father William Doyle, who died during World War I on the battlefield from shrapnel as he was giving last rites to the soldiers. And he had many times risked his life to do that during the war. But he was a Jesuit mission preacher, and he would go before the war. He was assigned to go from parish to parish and preach the missions that were given in each parish every 3 years or so. For a week, he would preach in a parish, and then he would go to the next place. He was assigned to preach another retreat. And he would always go to the pastor of the church at the beginning of the week, and he would say, give me the names and addresses of all those Catholics who have not been coming to church, who have been away from the sacraments. And he made it a point to go and during the week and visit each of them and urge them to come back to the sacraments. And he ran into some very difficult cases, very hardened sinners, some of them who were greatly offended that he even knocked on their door, some that even threatened his life if he would pester them again, and yet he would return. And it was said of him that he never failed. In the end, even when it seemed utterly hopeless, as if the sinner had no interest in repenting, he always succeeded in the end, that even if in many cases by a sudden conversion of the sinner. And he did this because of his devotion to the Sacred Heart. He would say to our Lord, Lord, you promise to give priests who are devoted to your Sacred Heart the power to touch the most hardened hearts. And here is a hardened heart, if there ever was one. So I'm putting you to the test, your promise to the test. Prove to me that your promise is true, that you will give the power to touch the most hardened hearts. And our Lord rewarded such confidence with these conversions that seemed impossible. In one case, an old soldier that he had pestered a few times and didn't want him to come back, and he came back and knocked on the door and invited himself in. The soldier, irritated, grabbed his old sword and held it up. He said, I'll put an end to your pestering me. And then he charged, ran at him with the sword. And Father Doyle just stood there, and he stuck his chest out. And the old soldier got right up to him and then dropped the sword and knelt down and said, you win, Father. And he made his confession right there. In another case, he was leaving the church after preaching one evening, and he saw a young lady who was obviously out to sin, living the street life. And he simply said to her, "Don't hurt Jesus. He loves you." And then he walked away. And no more words than that were necessary. And he didn't see her again until some years later he got a message from his superior that he needed to go visit someone in the prison who was asking specifically for Father Doyle. And he went, and turned out to be this young lady. She had committed some crime for which she was about to be put to death, the death penalty for whatever crime it was. And she had asked them to find the priest who gave a retreat in a certain parish at a certain year, and they found it was Father Doyle. So he talked to her and she said, "Father, I remember those words you said that night, and that night I went home and I didn't sin. But a short while after, I was desperate and returned to sin. But I could never get out of my head those words, 'Don't hurt Jesus, he loves you.' And I kept thinking, who is Jesus? Does he really care what I do?" And she said, "Now that I'm going to be put to death, tell me, who is Jesus?" And he instructed her in the faith. And she wanted to become Catholic. She'd never been baptized. He baptized her, got together the things to say Mass for her there and give her First Communion before she was put to death. But what gave that simple few words the ability to convert a sinner when someone else might have tried a whole sermon and not succeeded was his devotion to the Sacred Heart. So let us have the greatest confidence in these promises of our Lord to us, and let us make reparation to Jesus. Remember how pleased he is when we offer sacrifices to make up for not only our sins but those of others. We read of St. Bridget in her life that when she was 10 years old, she heard a sermon on the Passion of our Lord that so affected her that she could think of nothing else but what our Lord suffered for sinners. And then our Lord appeared to her one night and showed her how much he had suffered. And from then on, she always wanted to somehow return that love for our Lord. And she was praying one night. She got up to pray with the crucifix, kneeling beside her bed. And her aunt came in and thought she was up to no good being out of bed when the rest of the children were in bed. She took a stick and hit her so hard the stick broke. And she said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm thinking of him who helps me to be good." "Who is that?" She said, "Jesus, who suffered so much for me on the cross." And her aunt greatly regretted it and had a great respect for her after that. But think of this, and this month of the Sacred Heart, make reparation to our Lord and turn to him with confidence for grace to get out of sin if necessary, to stay away from it in the future, and to pray for all those sinners for whom we hope to aid in their conversion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.